Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. 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 No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again today. We have a very special show for you. Have you been wondering how you can possibly create a better outcome to your life situations? Well, we have a very special guest. Mr. Tom T. Moore is here with us to discuss his new book, The Gentle Way 3, Master Your Life. And he'll also show us a simple yet profound technique that will help us live a little more, a more stress-free life, a gentler life, and help us create the outcomes that we want. And later on the show, he's got so much information, we're also going to discuss a little bit about angels and orbs. But to tell you a little bit about Tom, he's an author, a speaker, he's in the entertainment industry, he has been for 25 years, and he'll tell us a little bit about that. But he's been requesting most benevolent outcomes, or MBOs, in his personal and business life for the past 16 years with great success, and he's going to show us how to do that. Tom, welcome to the show, and thank you for spending time with us and sharing your expertise.
Great. Thank you for having me, Charlotte. I look forward to our hour. We're going to cover a lot of stuff.
Me too. And just in case it gets a little jumpy, we have a little time extra if you want to continue a little bit. But let's start with your book, The Gentle Way 3. What can we expect to master in our lives with the information in the book?
Sure. The Gentle Way 3 is an interesting outgrowth of the blogs that I've been doing, okay? And each Saturday I have I put out a blog, and people send me in their stories about their successes in requesting benevolent outcomes from all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world. And so I kept getting these, and I finally started putting them into a blog because, I mean, and each blog is like 2,000 words long each week because all these people have such great stories. And
okay.
And so when that's the way it started, then each month I'm also a monthly columnist for the Sedona Journal of Emergence. And so for my monthly column, I would send them in all of these stories, and depending on how much room they had for their printed version of the magazine, they would also print many of these stories. And so what my publisher of my book is also the publisher of the Sedona Journal of Emergence. And what they did was to take all of my the stories that I'd sent them over the last 3 years, and they put them into chapters and categories according to work, medical, travel, you name it, okay?
Okay.
And so all of these stories are going to be in chapters like that, and I wrote an introductory chapter also to explain to people, if, you know, in case it was the first time they're reading about benevolent outcomes, how it came about and how I do it. And so that's what's going to happen. My publisher called me just a few minutes ago and told me for the next week they're going to have a pre-publication price discount that I believe is 25% by going to their website. I'm going to put that in my newsletter, which goes out tomorrow, and also in the blog on Saturday, so people will have this code so that when they contact my publisher, they can get 25% off on the book. And that just came about like an hour ago or less.
Perfect.
So that's something good for everyone. They said that the book will be back from the bindery in approximately 1 week, and that's when they're going to start sending out the books to people that have pre-ordered them.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Sounds like it's going pretty smoothly. I just wanted to tell the listeners there are links on the show page for your articles and news. That is thegentlewaybook.com. But in case people are merely listening and they don't see the show page, I'll say that again. For articles and news on Tom's information, it's thegentlewaybook.com, and his weekly blog is thegentlewaybook.com/blog. So be sure to check that out and sign up for those newsletters. I know I'm signing up. I think it's fascinating. I love to hear success stories, too. I'd like to hear all of this information. You have so much going on. You're amazing. How do you have time? How do you have time?
It's been a little tight this week, I must say. In my film and international film and TV program distribution business, there's a world TV market coming up in early October, and so once a week I have to send out a mass email to about 9 or 10,000 what are called opt-ins, people that have provided their emails addresses that go to these markets,
mm-hmm.
And so we have to send out an email about different products that we have. So I just did that yesterday and this morning, and I've got my regular newsletter that's about 12 pages this week, and that's going to go out tomorrow morning, and then I have the blog on Saturday morning. So and I'm supposed to have my column for the Sedona Journal in by the 15th. So that's all.
Wow.
I got going this week.
I wish I could offer to help you. Oh my God, I've been so busy myself. But your articles have also appeared in international magazines. You have Kindred Spirit in the UK, Living Now, mm-hmm. in Australia, and BeliefNet.com. Actually, I'm a member there. 7 million visitors a month they get, and everybody around the world gets access to all this great information you have. So let's talk about the technique and most benevolent outcomes. I guess basically start from the beginning.
Sure. About 16 years ago, I read a spiritual article in the Sedona Journal, and it was by a gentleman by the name of Robert Shapiro, and he was inspired, or he was channeling a spiritual being, and the being said, you can request benevolent outcomes in your life. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. I think I'll try it out, because over the last, 30 years or so, I've tried out many modalities. I had never found anything that really worked very well. And that included anything, if anyone's ever watched The Secret movie or heard of The Law of Attraction or anything, none of this stuff works that well. And when I started requesting benevolent outcomes in my life, it worked perfectly. And I'd never been able to say that about anything else before. And I started out requesting small benevolent outcomes, like for a parking space in front of a busy restaurant, or simple things like that, what are called mundane requests, a drive to the post office or whatever. And each time I started gaining trust in it, and I started requesting benevolent outcomes in my business and in my personal life, and it just grew and grew from there. I started writing a couple of articles for the Sedona Journal. They were extremely well received by their subscribers, and they put it on their website and everything. And it's just kind of grown from there, and that's why they became the publisher of my books, because they could see this was really something that attracted a lot of people, and people were just, you know, raving about how great it works. So basically, mm-hmm. you just say, I request a most benevolent outcome for a parking space in front of on the border restaurant or whatever. Thank you. And the farther in advance that you can do this, you know, if you wait till you're driving in the driveway, that's not too good. But if you can do it even before you leave to go to the restaurant or something, the farther mm-hmm. in advance you can do it, the better. And when you arrive, someone will be pulling out of the parking space right in front of the door, so that you can pull in.
That's
the way it works. And
yeah.
We can say every time, but there are some things that, you know, if you don't get right in front of the door, there's possibly a couple of reasons. One, what if somebody is mad when they walk out the door and they ding your car or something,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you don't want to be next to them. And
okay.
And your own, now in my belief system, I believe it's my guardian angel that's hearing these requests, and so they know what's in your short-term interests and what's in your long-term interests. And as long as it fits into your game plan, or as my guardian angel calls it, your soul contract, then it's given to you. And it just makes life so much easier because
mm-hmm.
you still have the same challenges. I mean, as an example, I was sued for my company both were sued for $1 million one time,
mm-hmm.
and that's really, really serious. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had the challenge, but I was requesting a benevolent outcome for it, and as it turned out, in mediation, a TV network that was being sued at the same time and another distributor. They
mm-hmm.
they had to pony up about $500,000 to settle the suit, and we paid zero. But I still had to pay my attorney. So it was a challenge, but it was like, as my guardian angel Theo says, if you're not requesting benevolent outcomes, you come to a big brick wall in your path. That's the challenge. But if you're requesting benevolent outcomes, it turns into a big speed bump. So it just the challenges are still there. They're just easier to get past.
And it's like reaching up and taking someone's hand and feeling that reassurance. I mean, it's called faith and knowing that there is a way around this. It doesn't mean that you get off scot-free. I'm sure, yeah, you have to pay your attorney. They worked hard. I'm glad
right.
the outcome. $1 million is a lot of money, and I'm glad that it worked
in
your favor. Yeah, exactly. But it just helps me to know that, you know, and we use the parking space as the most simple example, but in any situation, whether it's a parking space or $1 million lawsuit, just to have the faith to say, I need help with this, please. And I call it, that's basically practicing being in the world but not of it, because you're not under the stress of the situation. You make the situation, you put it into a better perspective, and you're bigger than the situation, and you have faith to get through it. And I think that's the best way to go through life, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's just an easier and gentler way to get through your life. It's like you can stay on a dusty road, but if you start requesting benevolent outcomes, suddenly there's this nice path over there, and you just don't get into all the, you know, the drama like many people do in life. You just kind of sail through it. Again, you still have challenges, so. It's you know, because our souls have to have learning, but the challenges are easier, and even medical challenges. I mean, I've had a couple of times where I've had to go, you know, in for medical procedures. I had
mm-hmm.
congestive heart failure in 2006, but I had absolutely no fear. Okay, when I went in there. And the first thing they tried to do was to shock my heart to get it back into regular rhythm. And when they woke
mm-hmm.
me up, they said, well, that didn't work. And I said, well, that's okay. Something better is going to happen. And so then the second time, when they were about to put me under. I was joking with the nurses. One of the nurses had brought food in, and they'd forgotten one of the other nurses, and I was joking with them, well, you forgot me too, you know, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, there was just no fear, and that one worked. So, you know, you can use it for the most serious things in your life or the most mundane. And it doesn't matter, because these guardian angels, as we call them, they're not like Clarence, you know, trying to ring the bell in It's a Wonderful Life. These
mm-hmm.
are golden light beings that are tremendously powerful, and they're taking care of not only you, but thousands and thousands of souls all at the same time. They're real multitaskers.
Yes, and I certainly believe.
And I tell people that my guardian angel Theo could handle 2 million requests for a parking spot at the same time and not break a sweat. I mean, that's how powerful they are.
Yes.
And it just goes so far beyond that. Being able to speak to my guardian angel in 2005, and I've asked thousands and thousands of questions, and they go into my newsletter, and eventually that's going to be a big, I'm afraid it's going to be a really big book, because I've asked so many questions. It's going to be called something like Guardian Angel 101 or something.
Okay. Well, when you ask the questions, like when I check in with my guide, my main spirit guide's name is Ezekiel. I call him Zeke. But when I check in, I go to, if I can, I sit down at the computer and just type everything they say so that I can listen better. And then, are you typing this down? Because half the work is done.
Exactly. That's exactly how I do it. I put myself into an altered state. It takes me, I don't know, 5 or 8 minutes to get
mm-hmm.
through, and I surround myself with white light, and
mm-hmm.
And also I request a benevolent outcome to receive the messages perfectly, even
okay.
though
oh,
I know
good.
Nobody ever receives it absolutely perfectly. According to Theo, he says nobody's perfect, and
right.
So I'm at my computer at 5:30 in the morning, and I have a whole sheet of questions that people have sent to me from all over the world, I ask the questions and get the answers.
So people just give you questions to ask Theo, and you just publish it.
And also my brother on another planet, Antura, which the fourth book, which is called First Contact Conversations with an ET, is about.
Right. Okay. Well, I had a quick question for you. What about the stress factor? What do you recommend? Like, should we request the most benevolent outcome the minute we feel stress? Does it help you to decompress a little? Talk about this, about how this will help you be less stressed, not just about the situation, but in your body.
Yeah. I mean, as an example, students write to me all the time, and they talk about how how they aced an exam that the best students in the class didn't make as high a grade as they did, okay, because they were so calm during the exam that they just had no problem with it. I just received email. I know it was in the blog last week. What happens is that I have the blog on Saturday, and then in the newsletter that I send out on Thursday, I'll reprint a couple of the stories from the previous week's blog, and one of the stories I have in for the newsletter tomorrow is about a lady that asked me. Well, she emailed me and said, I've got a couple of major things coming up. Can you help me with an MBO request, because I'm kind of new on this? And
okay.
So she asked me. She says, I'm going to be in this jazz competition for a flute, and, what can I say? So I gave her an MBO to say, and then also she was going to be in a court case, and she asked me about that. And so then she, on Facebook, she came back and said, she said, I won the competition.
Wow.
So she did win the competition. And the court case is working out okay for her, too. So that'll be in the newsletter tomorrow. Now, after the newsletter goes out via email, I also post it, or I have my webmaster post it on the website. Sometimes he posts it on Thursday. Sometimes he posts it on Friday. And then if he's out of town, it doesn't get done until Monday. So
Monday.
But eventually it's posted on the website.
Yeah, we have to remember that, you know, people are so busy. But, you know, I think everybody would be pretty forgiving as long as they get the information. But I love the stories. What are one or two of your favorite outcome stories? I know you told the health one. That's fascinating in itself. With the health, what are some of the stories that really impressed you the most from people writing in?
Well, there was a lady up in like Kansas or up in a rural area,
mm-hmm.
and living in a farmhouse, and there was a tornado headed right for her house, and so she grabbed her kids and ran for the basement, and she requested a benevolent outcome, and the tornado lifted up and went right over her house.
Excellent.
And another lady wrote to me. It just so happens that like 80% of the of the people that subscribe to my newsletter are female because they're
mm-hmm.
they're more intuitive. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
that's just the way it is. Okay, and so another lady wrote to me and told me that her daughter it was in Union City, California, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
and she was walking downtown at night, and a van with some men started following her, and so she requested a benevolent outcome, and just then some people came out of a house or a building, several people came out, and the van took off and left, and she said she was quite sure that saved her daughter.
Yes.
That's another one. Then another lady wrote to me from Seattle, and she said, Tom, let me tell you about the 60-second home invasion. And she said she and her boyfriend had just settled down to watch their brand-new TV that their roommate had set up for them upstairs, and I assume they put the box out on the alley. She didn't say that. And so they started watching it, and in a little while they heard this big crash and went downstairs to see what happened. Well, there were two masked men, and they pistol-whipped her boyfriend and threw both of them down on the floor and kicked her, and she said a quick MBO. Well, suddenly there's this tinkling of a bell outside, and so these guys thought somebody was coming, and so they ran out the door with only his billfold with an ID but no credit cards or anything, no money. And they were gone within 60 seconds. And so it had turned out that their roommate had heard this happen, and he ran out the back door in his skivvies, as she called
uh-huh.
them, and with two knives in his hand, and ran next door to get help. Of course, I don't think they were probably going to let him in the door.
Right.
Next door. But she said they had about 14 police cars on the scene after it was over.
Oh wow! So. That's horrifying and fascinating all at the same time. And did they get the guys?
I don't know. She didn't say
well,
that was the story that she wrote me.
They didn't get what they came for. I'm glad they weren't too badly hurt. But
yeah.
that just goes to show, like any situation, you can use this. And do you also use it like for like your emotions and that type of thing? Like, you know, life happens and things are upsetting.
Yeah.
How would you apply it to your emotional state?
Well, believe it or not, I've been using this stuff so long, I don't get too upset anymore, you know.
Yeah, I do.
And so I just know that because one of the things that Theo, my guardian angel, says that requesting benevolent outcomes does for you is it starts raising your vibrational level. And I didn't know that when I started out. I just knew this worked great. It was better than jelly, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I was going to use it, okay? But
yeah.
It starts raising your vibrational level, and Theo says this is the first time that you're actually co-creating with spirit. He says up to this time, you can read all the articles and books and everything, but until you start implementing this and start actually co-creating, you
mm-hmm.
remain at one level, but when you start doing this, you go up to another level. And you,
mm-hmm.
and little by little, you increase your vibrational level to the point, you know, as high as you can go. And
yeah.
I believe, in my case, that it allowed me to be able to start communicating, what was it now? Let's see, eight years ago with my
mm-hmm.
own guardian angel and Gaia, the soul of the earth, and so on.
Okay.
I believe it raised my vibrational levels enough that I was able to be receptive for these what are called thought packets that are sent to us. Okay? Because the
okay.
thought packets come in, they come in through your right brain, they're filtered according to your knowledge, your religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
Education, so on, and those are the messages that you get. So they're a filtered message according to what you believe. Now I try and have made my beliefs as neutral as possible, but I have found a few times that here and there that I'll influence an answer that comes in, and I have to ask the question again.
Mm. Well, I just wanted to add to what you're saying. You know, when we find a technique, any technique, and or, you know, people who, you know, I get a lot of questions on how to remember your dreams. Any technique that you employ, the more often you do it, you strengthen that connection to spirit, and the more often, the easier it is to get there and stay there. So now you're at a point, because you've used it for so long, that it's right there. It's accessible at the snap of
yes.
a finger. Yeah. So
and,
that's the way.
Well, not almost at a snap of the finger, but at least I can put. I've been told it probably is at a snap of the finger, but I don't feel comfortable unless I go through the motions of putting myself into an altered state, so that I try and receive the messages as pure as possible. Now,
gotcha.
I will mention something else. You mentioned
uh-huh.
dreams. I've been recording my dreams every morning since 1979. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing that because, well, 2 weeks after I started recording my dreams, I had a dream that was a very vivid dream of an explosion with a woman and some men involved.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I were, at that time, we owned an international wholesale tour company. And so my wife and I were supposed to be going to Manila for a World Congress of Travel Agents.
Okay.
And so it was so vivid that we canceled the Manila portion and added days on to Taiwan and Hong Kong. Well, on
okay.
the first day of the World Congress, up at the front of the hall, which is where I like to sit, towards the front, terrorists exploded a bomb and it injured 10 travel agents.
Wow.
And it turned out to be a woman that was working in the Philippine tourist office or something like that, in Los Angeles, and four men that were arrested. So
wow.
After that, I said, I'm going to record my dreams every day for the rest of my life, and I have every day. I've got books and books and books, you know, that I write my dreams down. I put the notebook on my nightstand. I have a little flashlight and a pen, and
yep.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's funny. You would really enjoy our dream interpretation segments that we have coming up, because I've actually connected with other people who do what I do, and it's fun to talk about it. But yeah, that's perfect. And I just want to point out, like, that dream. When we wake up from a dream that is prophetic like that, you'll notice a sense of urgency, and I'm glad you heeded the call to cancel that leg of your trip. That's
yeah.
pretty serious stuff. Yeah, I've had a few
things
like that.
And since then, I've had other prophetic dreams. I dreamed about the, before 9/11, since this is September 11th, I had three dreams. But they're all they're so symbolic that it's not almost as plain as the one, say, I had in 1979. For the 9/11 dreams, I dreamed about a biplane crashing, and then I dreamed about a plane crashing to the Northwest Airlines plane crashing to the east of Chicago, and then the last dream I had was really, really weird. It was there was a tornado, and when I have tornado dreams, it's always I know it's something not good is going to happen. Tornado dreams are very I don't like to have those at all. But anyway, the tornado dream, there was this tornado that came, and it went across the face of an office building, and behind it were a line of people that were sort of sitting in invisible chairs that were falling behind the tornado.
Oh. Wow.
And to me, of course, that was the plane.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah, tornadoes are big. I have about 300 emails in my inbox right now from people asking about their tornado dreams. I just can't get to it. Also, we have to do dedicated segments. But let's talk about – can we talk about angels and the whole guardian angel process?
Sure, but before we do that, let's do one more thing. There are some rules for requesting benevolent outcomes, okay?
Oh, okay, yeah, let's do the rules.
Okay, number one, you must request the assistance. And, okay, so keep in mind, you have to request assistance. Our guardian angels are under instructions by our own souls, by the way, that if we don't ask for assistance, they don't give it. They leave us alone to wander in the forest. Okay.
No, they'd be messing around with your free will. It's illegal. They can't do that.
Yeah. It must be benevolent not only for you, but for everyone connected with the request. Even if you say it accidentally, say something not benevolent accidentally, it still will not happen. The example I normally give is that a soldier in Afghanistan can't say, I request a benevolent outcome to kill my enemy before he kills me. He can say, I request the most benevolent outcome to return from this patrol safely, thank you. Or he can say, I request the most benevolent outcome for my truck to go safely from Kabul to my outpost or something like
that. Okay.
He can do that, and he'll be taken care of that way as long as it's benevolent for everyone in the request. Number three, it must be a request for you specifically. Benevolent prayers are what you say for others. In a benevolent prayer, you say, I ask any and all beings to help Uncle George with his alcohol problem. Thank you. Something like that. Okay.
That's a benevolent prayer. Okay.
And that's handled by a different set of angels. And I said, well, are they golden light beings like you, Theo? And he said, no, but they're eager. Okay, so that's
eager.
A benevolent prayer.
Okay.
Yes, eager.
Eager.
Number four, it must be said out loud or in writing. Okay, and people ask me about this all the time. Well, can I just think them? You've got to say it out loud because this is a physical world and you're creating something physical. You're co-creating with spirit something physical. Okay.
Yeah.
So it has to be said out loud. If you cannot speak, you can do it in writing. Obviously, sometimes you may have to whisper, or you may have to turn around and go, I don't request most benevolent outcome, blah, 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 and somebody says, what did you say? I was just mumbling or, make up something if you are with people that wouldn't understand. Number five, there is no limit on the number of times you can request benevolent outcomes. Okay. I've requested 15,000 times minimum, maybe a lot more than that, I don't know. Never counted them. But, there's no limit to it, so you don't have to worry, oh, my guardian angel is so busy, or, you know, I really should only do the most important ones with him or her.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about that because these beings are so powerful that they easily handle these requests. Number six.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, plus that would tie in when I first opened up, you know, dialogue with my guides, I was apologetic like that. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, it's already been 2 hours. But the answer was, you know, we're here for you. If you have a question, if it's time to answer, we will answer it if it's not too much information too soon. But, they, you know, for me, they said that's a worthiness issue where you have all these questions. You deserve the answer, so don't feel like you're burdening spirit to help you. You know, don't say, well,
exactly.
I need help, but I'm going to pray for that person. Ask for help, and you will receive it. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but go ahead. So, oh, the other question was...
But that's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's worthy, and the problem is it's because some people have been in religions where they're told, oh, you can only ask, you know, your clergymen, or, you know, you can only have your clergymen pray for you, or something like that. In other
yeah.
words, you're giving your power away to someone else.
Exactly.
And when you start requesting benevolent outcomes, you're taking your power back to you. Okay.
Yes.
So, number six.
And, well, the other question was, there's no limit on requests,
okay,
but is there a limit on requests on the same topic? Like the student studying for the test, is it a waste of time to do it 5 times, or does it strengthen the request?
Okay. Theo says that one time is sufficient, but he
uh-huh.
says we understand that humans are fearful, and if you want to save it 5 or 10 times, if it makes you feel good, that's fine. He says you're not penalized. Okay.
Okay.
And he said that kind of amusingly. So
sure.
But we're not penalized. If you want to say it a bunch of times, that's okay. So
does it have
six,
a lot to do with specificity, or is that what you're about to say?
What?
The specifics of the request.
Oh.
The words that you choose,
well, I mean,
in the asking.
Okay. I mean, as an example, you can choose to say, well, I request the most benevolent outcome to do even better than I can hope for or expect on this exam.
Got you. Okay.
You know, you can say that. I mean, you can also say, I request the most benevolent outcome to make a better grade in this course than I can hope for or expect. Now, that's kind of a longer range one, but that's okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Go right ahead with number six.
So there will be things that will happen as you go along that will cause you to get a better grade than you expected.
Right. Excellent.
Okay.
Number
six, this is
yep.
the last one. Trust
right.
in the process. Start with the mundane.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Trust in the process. Start with the mundane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm writing this down. Start with the mundane.
Oh, okay.
And do you always say thank you at the end?
I always thank my guardian angel. I didn't at the first, so it, you know, your guardian angel is not going to get peeved. You know, they love you dearly. I keep being told that over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
you know, when some people ask me questions in an email or something. I'm always told to tell them that their guardian angel loves them dearly, and that's coming directly from their own GA, as I call it. And so
GA is guardian angel. No, I just thought
yeah.
I'd clarify that.
Yeah, yeah, a GA is a guardian angel.
Uh-huh.
I use a lot of acronyms. MBOs is the acronym for most benevolent outcome.
Right.
So you can request an MBO. So it makes it easier. You can imagine how typing most benevolent outcome out 100,000 times can take.
Well, copy and paste
the
then.
Just copy
doesn't
and paste. Work that way. I'm
okay.
a fast
My
typist. I'm a pretty fast typist. I can type about as fast as I receive the words
yes.
coming in through my brain. So
yes.
that,
you
that
get
helps.
Pretty quick doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And later I have to go back and correct the typos, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we? I got lost.
I'm having so much fun with this. Like I'm just following along with you, to be honest. But so we have the six steps. This is what you want to do. This is what you want to make a habit of doing. Anytime you need assistance from spirit, no matter what you call that. And so for anybody, you know what I can do? I can type this up and put it on my website for people to download, and I'd be happy to do that and get people in the habit. You want to create a habit, and I don't want to use the word dependency, but you want to rely on spirit before you rely on yourself.
You need to make it a habit, or you won't remember to do it when mm-hmm. when somebody's chasing you down a street or a tornado's about to wipe you out or any of these things that happen in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it saved me from a couple of wrecks. I had a time when I rented a car in Nice, France, to drive over to Cannes for a TV market. And
okay.
after I got on their little interstate, which is a tollway too, I'm driving along and this little French car passes me by, you know, doing like 90 miles an hour or better. And I was doing at least 70, but he zoomed
okay.
past me. And he
right.
lost control and skidded into the guardrail in the middle of the six-lane highway, bounced
mm-hmm.
off the guardrail, and came to a rest across two lanes of traffic, one of which I was in. Had
mm-hmm.
I been 5 seconds earlier, I would have hit him, but I was easily able to slow down and inch around him and go on my way. And I didn't stop because I didn't speak French well enough to assist him, and he didn't look too injured. It was just a fender bender.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other thing that time that happened was not too long ago, last year I think it was. I was driving back towards my house on the North Dallas Tollway, exited on the street that would take me on over towards my house. And this is a busy street, and so there was a black pickup truck that was in front of me that turned, and then I turned behind it, and I got into the middle lane. He was on the lane closest to the divider, and I didn't want to be that close to him.
Right.
So I was in the middle lane, and as we came up to the first signal light, going about 40 miles an hour, a lady either was talking on a cell phone, texting, or just
mm-hmm.
was blocked from seeing him by a car turning the other direction
mm-hmm.
In front of her, and she turned right in front of him. He broadsided her SUV, lifted it completely off the pavement I'm looking at, you know, and
yeah.
turned it around 180 degrees. I slammed on the brakes, and I came to a stop 6 feet from her front side door where she was.
Oh.
So it was
God.
A close one. But again, I don't leave the
right.
house without requesting benevolent outcomes for my drives.
Yeah, I think I only need to restart that. I don't do it as I leave my house, but if I have to get on the highway, I'm the kind of driver, I'm very respectful of others. I do not have that road rage some people have. I'm not aggressive. I'm very polite. You know, it shows, my personality shows in my driving. I just try to be as polite as possible and intuitively feel the drivers around me. But when I get on like an expressway where it's really fast, I'm confident
yeah.
in my abilities to drive. It's just other people who are risk takers, I'm not comfortable with them around me. So what I do as a habit, and I got to demonstrate it to my husband, I said, seriously, watch this. And in my own words, I basically asked for a benevolent outcome. And within a couple of minutes, when I'm surrounded by cars going 60 and 70 miles an hour, just within a couple of minutes, I have an entire buffer completely around me, 360 degrees on all sides, with no
mm-hmm.
cars around me, and I basically have the space all my own where either people take an exit or they happen to go faster, but somehow it's the strangest thing, but my car is by itself on that highway with a bunch of cars in front and a bunch of cars in back, but no one beside me or around me. It works every
right.
single time. And I demonstrated it, and, you know, I guess, you know, people are like, you know,
but
it could be coincidence. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I also say that for a lot of people, there's still going to be cars around you, especially me, because I'm normally passing people.
You're one of them.
I'm one of them. On the outside lane, give me the fast lane. When you request these benevolent outcomes, it's like there is this bubble of protection. And what's interesting, I wrote about this in my first book, the Gentle Way 1 book. It's called the Radiant Effect. Okay, so So when you're driving, if someone's in your car with you, if you request a benevolent outcome for your drive, then they're protected, but also the cars around you go into sort of this bubble of protection too. So it's nice because there's the other people can be part of this little bubble of protection going down the highway.
And that's a nice thing to do for others. Yes. I mean, driving is so scary. I had an experience in the fall that left me shaking and crying. I was driving down a one-way street. There were 7 cars around me. Don't ask me how I know the number. I had to try to find a way out. And, you know, I just saw all the cars. But this guy made a right-hand turn onto this one-way street, got into my lane, and for almost an entire block headed straight for me. I couldn't turn into the parking area because that's where he needed to go, and we would have collided anyway. And I couldn't turn to the right because there's cars beside me, in front of me, and behind me. I didn't want to slam on the brakes and be – I had all angles I had to consider. And so I just started praying, basically, like, help me with this. And eventually he moved out of the way. He didn't seem like a nice person. He kind of made faces at me like, what are you worried about? And it's just ridiculous, but it really shook me up. But in that moment, it's – I can't – decide. I need you to help decide for me what to do and where to steer this car. You do it. And that's happened to me like twice in my life. Like the car kind of steered itself and I was able to kind of withdraw out of the panic and let it go where it went. And it worked out fine, but I was pretty upset about that. Yeah, but this is a fabulous technique. It really is.
Yeah. And let me mention something. Please keep in mind, and this is, you know, this comes out quite often. You can request things for the most important things for your life. You can say, I request the most benevolent outcome for the perfect mate for me. Or I request the most benevolent outcome for the perfect job for me. Or I request the most benevolent outcome for the perfect home for me or the perfect car for me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, these things, when you start requesting things like that, as an example, if it's a job, maybe there's somebody in that job right now and they have to get hired or promoted or leave for some reason. So it takes time for these machinations, I'll call them, to work for you, for your benefit. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient. And same thing, you know, I've had ladies that have emailed and said, Tom, I've been requesting a benevolent outcome for the perfect mate for me for a month, and no one showed up. This doesn't work. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Because they're probably in a relationship, and they have to tie up some loose ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she has to go through an interim relationship that will set her up so that the perfect relationship will be perfect for both of them. You know?
Exactly. Yes. I had to go through that. It's not pleasant to go through, but you know what? There's a lot of wisdom in it. And I found that when requesting things, especially things that involve other people, it takes time for spirit. We're in time. They're not in time. But it takes time for spirit to maneuver what they need to maneuver to get that car to the lot where you're going to eventually go and find the perfect car for you, which happened to me, and the perfect person who came and found me as soon as
or the relative that, you know, you think you can't, and this has happened several times. I've gotten emails on this. You know, suddenly a relative comes and says, oh, you know, here, take my car, or here, I'll sell it to you for half price or some great discount.
Yes.
And it's a much better car than they thought they were going to be able to afford.
Yes.
So, you know, when you request benevolent outcomes like that, You have to leave it open-ended. Don't say, I request the most benevolent outcome for a Toyota Corolla. You may get it, okay, but maybe there was a better car that could have come into your life if you hadn't been so specific.
Right. You have to be careful with not being too vague, but if you put too many specifics on it, like the color of the car, let's use that. Like, you know, I want the most benevolent outcome for a red car, maybe because you're in love with red Corvettes or something like that. But when you do that, you take it out of spirit's hands and you put limits on what they can bring you. So we want
to don't
specify what the outcome looks like. Just specify that the outcome is peaceful for the benefit of all and let them pick what's best for you. I mean, the car I got was way beyond my expectations.
Right.
A fabulous car. I have a luxury sedan. And it was, you know, I kept begging and begging, when am I going to, you know, get a new car? And it was, you have to wait. And the way I got the car was, it was literally an old couple in a small town in Florida, and the husband had passed away. And it took time to get the car to the lot, but the minute it was on the lot, I showed up that night. And there it was, and it was a little too late, but we drove it home the next day, and everything about it was perfect. So expect miracles, really, you know, and be thankful every day for the miracles that you do have, because there's a lot going on that we're not aware of because we're so busy in our heads and in our lives. But I promised my friends, Tom, that we would discuss a little bit about orbs and all the awesome information you have. So I won't want to disappoint. Do you want to talk about orbs a little bit?
We have a few minutes.
We can go for like 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes if you like, whatever you want to do. Just let me know.
Okay. Orbs. I started, you know, getting some questions. It's just like everything that comes in for the newsletter. You know, people send in questions. And I started being asked about orbs. I didn't know anything about orbs, really, other than I'd seen photos of you know, single orbs that were very intricate and beautiful. And I'd seen photos of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of orbs hanging in the air like light bulbs. And so I started asking about orbs, and it seems that there are, I'll divide them into two groups, but in reality, they're even divided into subgroups. But let's start with two groups.
Okay.
One group are your guides, okay? There may be one or two of your guides that are sort of hanging around that are orbs, and they may be intricate in design with concentric circles or all sorts of designs, or they may be different colors. I have found out that, like, if it's a red color, they've had less than 100 lives on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a blue color, they've had less than 200. If you get on up to 300 or more, then the orbs are getting pretty intricate in design.
Okay.
And these are your guides that are helping you through your whole life. And Theo says that you have one major guide that's from your soul group or cluster, as he calls them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 6 to 12 soul fragments per cluster on average.
Mm-hmm.
So in my soul cluster, as an example, there's 8. Okay, so you'll have one guide from your soul cluster, and then you'll have other guides that will come into and out of your life as they're needed. So as an example,
mm-hmm.
when my wife and I were in the wholesale tour business, I had a couple of guides that helped me in that business. When I got into the film distribution business, I had a couple of guides that helped me there, and then when I started writing, I had a couple of guides that are helping me in my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have those kinds of orbs around. Now, the other category of orbs are simple orbs. They don't have these intricate designs or anything, although you'll see hovering around them at times orbs with more intricate designs, and those are human guide kind of orbs, okay, that are helping these simple orbs. The simple orbs are dogs and cats and birds and insects and things like that, okay?
Okay.
When we transition, we go off to, you know, another place to review our lives and get ready for the next one. That doesn't happen with the animals and birds and insects and all. As soon as they transition, they're guided through sort of an energy of tunnels, kind of like, okay? And mm-hmm. they're guided to what are called staging areas. And at these staging areas, there'll be a staging area for cats, a staging area for dogs, for birds. They're not all mixed together, okay? They're different staging areas. And at these staging areas, these little soul fragments are assigned their new birth mothers by their group soul. So it's like the group soul for all the cats on Earth is able to do this work. Keep in mind, souls are much more powerful than we can possibly understand. Uh-huh. And so even our own souls are having as many as 500,000 to 1,000,000 lives going on right now all across the universe for their knowledge and understanding. Okay, uh-huh. So souls are much more powerful than we understand in where we are. So they're assigned these birth mothers, and off they go to their next life on Earth.
Okay, and wow, that's really interesting information.
And so human soul orbs, fragments, whatever you want to call, there are these that assist and guide these little simple soul fragments as part of their own learning process for their soul growth. Okay, so they volunteer to do that too.
Okay. Is there any truth, Tom, to the notion I've read probably a couple times that orbs like to gather in spiritual areas, or like say if there's a group of people chanting or singing, that orbs will come and gather?
Well, yeah, but it's generally those guide orbs that hover around. And on my Facebook right now, if you scroll, my Facebook page is listed as Tom T. Moore. If you scroll on down, it's been like a week or so since it was posted, but a lady posted three photos of thousands of orbs in her backyard. So obviously her area is a staging area for, you know, one of the soul groups.
Right. Okay. So she must get a lot of great pictures then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's, she says she just goes outside and takes a picture.
Clicking the camera. I
did ask, I said, well, do they only do this at night? And he said, Theo said, no. This goes on 24 hours a day because, you know, there are dogs and cats dying all the time, and they don't have to hover around, you know, waiting for a slot, so to speak. They're on the move mostly.
Okay. And what is there to the idea that, you know, people who I see a lot of people saying they have all this great information about orbs, and yet I don't feel like I'm learning anything from them. What I see them doing is batting down any constructive idea of what they could be and what they're about, and they almost every orb they see in a photo, they just declare it dust. Can you shed some light on why people do that? Have you run into people who do that?
Well, first of all, they don't know very much about photography, okay? Now, as an example, my daughter owns her own photography studio. So, I mean, people that are in photography can tell the difference between a dust on a lens and something that's hovering. Okay.
Yeah.
That, and And especially if you take two pictures in a row, and in one picture it's there, and the next picture it's not, you know, and you're still in exactly the same location. So these people are just, they don't want to believe in orbs, so they try and come up with an answer to them that sounds scientific and plausible. And certainly there can be pictures with dust, but when you see true orb pictures, then you know what you're looking at.
Yes, I agree. I can see the texture.
And some of these orbs like to play games with you. I have seen pictures of orbs with smiley faces.
Really?
I've seen orbs with a portion of it of the orb sliced off. You know, and so they play games. There are hexagonal orbs. They change shape, you know, just to make sure. Well, hey, you know, they think it's a speck. Well, let's see you make a hexagonal speck.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And I like when I see them. Sometimes there's one and then there's one behind it, so you have the even more opaque section where they are overlapping. And then I've seen them really big over some people, really big. It's, you know, people who are heavily into meditation. That's what I noticed because I was in the yoga community, but really big orbs. And you can't say that's dust. It's definitely something covering this, like almost hovering over this person. But I've seen some really cool pictures myself. So I might mention, I
do have an article on orbs on my website, which we'll mention again is www.thegentlewaybook.com. And since that, I mean, as an example, tomorrow, you know, the very first topic on my newsletter is going to be something else about orbs. So I've continued to write have questions come in about orbs since I did that article, but it's a good place to start. And when I went to Sedona, Arizona last October in 2012, I requested a benevolent outcome from my guardian angel Theo for him to appear in one of my photographs. And he said, no problem, Tom. So here I was meditating by the Oak Creek underneath the Cathedral Rock Vortex in Sedona, and my wife took a picture of me in this meditation, and there was this big orb thing, and it didn't have any colors or anything. It was just big. And then she took another picture, and it wasn't there. And so I asked him. He said, Tom, keep in mind, you know, guardian angels, and they prefer servants of the Creator, by the way. But we wouldn't know what we were talking about if we called them that. But our GAs do not have physical lives. Okay. And so, therefore, they have a formless presence, a formless orb, if you will, as compared to humans that have lives on Earth.
Yes.
And so that's where that comes in.
I see. Okay. So this is correct me if I'm wrong. So it's a concentration of energy. It just appears as an orb. But anybody who has had an incarnation and therefore has an identity to which they can attach themselves, they can appear in a picture as an apparition with an identity where the orbs are orbs.
Well, they can appear. See, now you're getting into ghosts and things like that.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about apparitions. I'm talking
about
an orb. So an orb like that red orb, as an example, you know, less than 100 eyes, lives. Okay, it's already got a color. But my guardian angel, Theo, didn't really have a color. It was sort of a brownish in a way, but, you know, it was kind of brownish, grayish, whatever. It was large, but it was not this tight, compressed little ball like human orbs are.
I gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I love stuff like that. I like learning about it too. I don't have a whole lot of information about it, so I appreciate you sharing with us all this information. And I know you have to get going, but I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, once again, Tom's got this awesome newsletter and his blog, and this series of books that I certainly want to check out each one. And it's The Gentle Way, a self-help guide for those who believe in angels. And that is now out in Germany and Greece. Congratulations on getting it overseas, Tom. There is The Gentle Way 2, The Story Continues, and The Gentle Way 3 now available soon, Master Your Life. And don't forget the first one, First Contact, Conversations with an ET or Extraterrestrial, which that's got to be fun. I'm learning a lot more about ETs as well. So for the articles and news, thegentlewaybook.com, and for the blogs, thegentlewaybook.com/blog. Don't forget, Tom's got a wealth
of
information.
thegentlewaybook.com/blog. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yep.
Want to make sure we had that.
But you offer so much more. You have you offer knowledge on topics like practical tools for your toolbox, conversations with a guardian angel, and even 12 parallel worlds or timelines, and the topic of Atlantis. So I would look forward to having you on in the future to talk about some of these things.
Sure.
I really appreciate your time.
Going to have a book on Atlantis.
Yep,
that's in the works. I have more questions in the newsletter tomorrow about Atlantis people who are sending in. I've got to get up to, you know, somewhere around 75 to 100,000 words, so I still have a ways to go.
Okay. I'll look forward to hearing the news that it's available. All right, well, thank you so much, Tom. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. That's our show for today. Be well. Don't forget to ask for your most benevolent outcomes in all situations. So God bless everybody, and be at peace. Bye-bye.